All right, guys, you welcome to another crossover episode. I am the host of Locked On Falcons today, joined by the host of Locked On Redskins, Chris Russell. We are going to be previewing this upcoming week nine matchup between the Falcons and Redskins.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
So, guys, I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for many years at FalcFans.com, on Twitter at FalcFans, and, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. Today is another crossover episode brought to you by MyBookie, and I am joined by Chris Russell, who hosts Locked On Redskins. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Aaron, thanks for having me, man. What's going on? Hope you're doing well and getting ready for this game. It's kind of been a strange season so far in some ways for the Falcons, as it has been for the Redskins. But this should be fun, right? Good defense versus a really good offense, and maybe a bad offense for the Redskins versus a equally bad, mostly because of injury, defense for the Falcons. So we shall see what happens on Sunday at FedEx Field.
Yes, I think you summarized it perfectly. It's strength on strength and weakness on weakness. So whoever's strength comes out on top in that matchup with the Falcons offense versus the Redskins defense probably will wind up winning this game. And, you know, whoever's, I guess there's a possibility that one team's weakness will suddenly look like a strength given that they're facing the other team's weakness. But this will be a certainly interesting matchup, particularly the Falcons are coming off a bye week. They've been struggling a little bit on the road so far this season with losses to Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, where the offense did struggle in both of those games. And so if that trend continues, then that certainly is something that points in the favor of the Redskins. And it seems like the Redskins are hoping that they might get a quick little boost on defense to sort of go against this Falcons passing attack, because today the news broke that they traded for Packers free safety Clinton Dix. What are your thoughts on that trade?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really interesting deal. I mean, I'll go through it quickly on my end. I think most of us had focused on the Redskins needing a corner more than a safety, but this makes sense for a couple of reasons. One, it bolsters a little bit of a strength with DJ playing as well as he has, and now it gives them, if you believe in Pro Football Focus and their grading system, which I do, I'm not they're perfect. I'm not saying they're accurate. It gives the Washington Redskins the two highest graded safeties in the NFL this year in terms of 2018 rankings, again, via Pro Football Focus. So you have that. You have seven combined interceptions, Aaron, between the two, meaning Swearinger and Clinton Dix. Clinton Dix intercepted Alex Smith of the Washington Redskins. There really was a miscommunication between him and Jordan Reed, the Redskins' good tight end, in week three here at FedEx Field. So that's kind of an interesting thing there to kind of note. And certainly what it does is it bolsters the weakness Redskins defense. They've been so good stopping the run. They've been so good in the front seven. Pretty good tackling. They have struggled to defend the pass. And again, Swearinger with four interceptions. Clinton Dix, not saying he's lights out in coverage, but he's a physical guy. It seems like he rotates over very well and gets back into plays that weren't necessarily targeted at him. So he has good recovery speed, good hands, obviously, with the three interceptions and a forced fumble. He can get after the quarterback a little bit, maybe on a delayed blitz, a safety blitz. So I think this is a good addition, a really good addition for the Redskins. How quickly he'll be able to be really good, just kind of depends on terminology and whatever. But I'll tell you this, DJ Swearinger is going to help him out, because that guy knows everything about this scheme, and he's really good at communicating. So Clinton Dix is not going to have to worry so much about having to completely digest a new defense with only 3 days of practice.
Yeah, I think this is going to be interesting to sort of see what dividends it pays immediately, particularly with this Falcons matchup, just because where you think the Falcons' strength lies and where the Redskins' weakness lies, if there is a weakness on this defense, it is at that cornerback position, where the Falcons have, obviously, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, Mohamed Sanu, and the Redskins have Josh Norman, who's had a history of success against Julio Jones, but the other cornerbacks may not necessarily be quite up to par, at least from my perspective. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on this, Chris. But with Fabian Moreau in the slot and going up against a physical guy like Sanu, you've had an injury to Quentin Dunbar, and Greg Stroman, a rookie, has sort of filled in his spot. And I think that's really been an area where the Falcons have really had a lot of success this year, attacking teams with sort of whoever's covering Calvin Ridley and trying to get that matchup one-on-one. And he's really done an excellent job winning on one-on-ones, winning in the red zone, winning on third downs a lot this year. And that's a matchup that the Falcons could potentially exploit, because Ridley's been playing so far this season, even though he also is a rookie like Stroman, has been playing looking a lot like a longtime veteran with sort of his success. So I think Clinton Dix will certainly help the Redskins, but I think given this specific matchup, you kind of, if you're a Redskins fan, you might have wished that they may have gotten another corner out there that can maybe help them a little bit on the Sunday.
Right, and Dunbar, you know, Aaron, is coming back after missing the last two games. We think he's going to play. He's dealt with a injury. There was some nerve issues. There was a hamstring that was leading to the nerve pain and the shin, and I guess the leg bones connected to the, well, you know, thing. So we think he's coming back. Now, he has, you know, he's a former college wide receiver at the University of Florida. They converted him to a corner 4 years ago, or 3.5 years ago, and he's done very well, and he's got some length to him and all that. That's certainly going to help the Redskins, as you mentioned, when you have to deal with Julio Jones, when you have to deal with Mohamed Sanu, oh, and by the way, you have to deal with Calvin Ridley, and you got some tight ends that can hurt you. That's a lot to deal with. You mentioned Moreau. He's really in his first year of starting at corner. I think he's done a pretty nice job inside the slot. That's not to say he can't get beat, but again, a guy with some length. The guy that, or in the matchup that's really going to be, you know, kind of interesting is, like you said, if Stroman has to play instead of Dunbar, or in a dime package where they go four corners and two safeties, you know, that's going to be an area, certainly, I think, that the Atlanta Falcons can pick on, as other teams have, the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys the last 2 weeks, with, again, Dunbar out. Also, it'll be really interesting to see how Josh Norman fares, because Josh Norman was switched to Odell Beckham late in the second quarter last week and kind of blanketed him, and that's not the Josh Norman that we've always seen here. He's kind of, I mean, he's been good, but I wouldn't say by any means he's been great or anything all pro since he's come here 2.5 years ago. And as a matter of fact, there's many in the Redskins organization that are ready to move on for him. So seeing him, especially in the red zone against Julio Jones, and I know that's a point of contention for a lot of Atlanta Falcons, that's going to be an interesting matchup. I think it's a fascinating, fascinating matchup between the defensive backs and, again, adding Clinton Dix to the mix against these Falcons receivers. And will you, you know, will Matt Ryan have time to throw? The Redskins got home 7 times against a really bad offensive line, who you guys saw last time out in the New York Giants.
Yeah, we have a lot more to discuss about that in a moment in these sort of matchups with this Redskins defense against this Falcons offense, as well as other matchups in this game. But I do want to let you guys know that Locked On Podcast Network is also Locked On the NBA. You can find a Locked On show representing all 30 NBA teams wherever you get your Locked On podcast, your NBA team every day. Now, if you listen to this podcast, you guys know I have a lot of answers, but I don't have the answers to everything, because I don't always know who's going to win each and every week. But if you guys think you know, then you guys got to check out my bookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. And that's why I always tell people to go to my bookie. Trust me, they're the best bet you'll make this season. They've been in business for years. They have great reviews online. Their mobile site is very easy to use. They have in-game live betting, over under on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie has recently been slammed with new bettors and wants to help you out by giving a $25 free play if you deposit $100 or more after 7 p.m. Eastern. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate that offer. Visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget that promo code LOCKEDON25 to get that extra $25 after you deposit after 7 p.m. You play, you win, you get paid. So, Chris, you mentioned it. I think, you know, when you look at this matchup, you see, because of the Falcons' weapons at the wide receiver, at the tight end position, you see some exploitable matchups. But the key for them to exploit those matchups is whether or not they can keep Matt Ryan upright long enough. And that has been a real struggle for the Falcons this year. I don't know exactly where they are, but for a while there, they were giving up the second most hits on the quarterback this season besides the Houston Texans. I think they've sort of dipped down a little bit, but I think they're still in the top five last time I saw the numbers. And that's been a problem. And going up against this Redskins front, I think basically they have six really good pass rushers with Ryan Kerrigan, Matt Ioannidis, Daron Pay, the rookie, Jonathan Allen, Preston Smith, and Pernell McPhee, sort of as the forgotten man who once upon a time was a double-digit sack artist. And the problem has been the Falcons have dealt with some injuries on their offensive line. They're starting Ben Garland at right guard because they lost Brandon Fusco to an injury last week. They lost Andy Levitre early at left guard to an injury. And Wes Schweitzer, who started for them last season at right guard, is now there. Ryan Schrader, who has been one of the better right tackles in the league for a long time in Atlanta, has really struggled this year in terms of pass protection. He struggled when he was playing against Ryan Kerrigan a couple of years ago when he was at the top of his game. And now that he's at the bottom of this game, that's not necessarily a matchup that I think the Falcons are looking forward to. Maybe they can use their running backs and tight ends to chip a little bit to slow down Kerrigan off the edge, but that's going to leave some opportunities for a guy like Ioannidis on the interior going up against Garland at that right guard position. And I think Ioannidis is leading the team with six sacks or something like that. So if,
yeah, 5.5, right?
So it's one of those things, like if the Falcons, you know, if the Redskins are able to pin their ears back, I have really no confidence right now with how the Falcons offensive line has played this season that they can withstand the Redskins pass rush. So I think what the Falcons are going to have to hope to do is, you know, stay on schedule on offense, run the football, and maybe just sort of slow down this Redskins pass rush as much as they can, any way that they can, so that if they can find the time to get the ball into the hands of their weapons on the outside, I think they will find some success. But that is going to be a big question for me.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Aaron, because, you know, earlier in the year, Greg Minuski, the Redskins defensive coordinator, was having a blitz a lot more than it seems like he has of late. He's done it at times. Certainly every defensive coordinator is going to do it. But because they've stopped the run so well, they've been in more third and long type situations. They haven't necessarily had the blitz. And I don't expect a lot of blitzing from Greg Minuski in this matchup, because he knows if he blitzes and if he sends picks, or, you know, a zero blitz, something like that, you know, you're then exposing that secondary that we just talked about, those corners, against some really high-skilled weapons, and, of course, Matt Ryan, who's capable of getting it to them. So I don't expect necessarily a blitzing from the Redskins. I certainly don't expect seven sacks and to be able to get home like they did against the Giants. I don't think the Atlanta offensive line is, I could be wrong on this, is as bad, maybe, as the Giants. You know, there's no doubt that this game will come down to if the Redskins can do what they have been able to do the last 3 weeks, which is completely stuff the run. And you guys already are without Devontae Freeman and have Tevin Coleman and have the young kid that can kind of work in. If they can stop the run, pin their ears back, and force Atlanta into third and longs. Now, you know, the problem with that is the Redskins have given up some third and conversions this year, including one big one to Odell Beckham. And the Atlanta Falcons, as you guys know, and Aaron, as you well know, they're 50% on third down. So it's going to be a really interesting chess match to see what Greg Minuski and the Redskins defense do or does in those third and eight, say, pluses against such a good third down offense with loaded weapons. Do you blitz? Do you send extra guys? Or do you play it straight up and try and play coverage, especially again with the addition of Clinton Dix?
Yeah, you mentioned it. The Falcons' third down offense has been very successful, very efficient this year. I think a lot of that is owed to Calvin Ridley. I was looking up the numbers earlier today, and, you know, he's converted over 80% of his third down targets from Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan's passer rating is 145 when targeting Calvin Ridley on third downs. So that's been a big part. Another big part of the Falcons' success has been the fact that Matt Ryan has been able to use his legs successfully on third downs to sort of move the chains. He's been a much bigger factor there than people would think. He's tied for fourth in the NFL among quarterbacks with the most third down conversion scrambling, with only Blake Bortles Cam Newton and Mitch Trubisky ahead of him. So that's been a big element to why the Falcons have found a lot of success, is because you get so focused on covering those weapons and dropping seven into coverage to sort of jam things up, and you bring four, and then someone, slips a lane, and Matt Ryan slips through and scrambles for 7 yards and converts and keeps the chains rolling. So I think that's going to be a big part of it. And so I think the key for the Redskins is going to have to be winning up front and controlling that line of scrimmage. And if they can do that, and right. They certainly have the front four that is capable of doing that. And if they live up to that potential, then they can have a lot of success slowing down this Falcons offense. We saw last week against the Giants on Monday Night Football, the Falcons got off to a bit of a sluggish start, and a lot of that was owed to, the offensive line not necessarily coming out of the gates, playing a strong performance. The good positive thing, if you're a Falcon fan watching that game, was, unfortunately for Brandon Fusco, who got injured in the second quarter, but it did seem like when Ben Garland came into the lineup in that second half, the offensive line play started to pick up a little bit, and they were a little bit more consistent running the football and keeping Matt Ryan upright. So that is a positive potentially, but Garland is not necessarily known for being a high-level player from his starts last season, replacing Lavitre at the end of the year. So it's wondering if that second half performance is that can be what the Falcons can expect as a norm moving forward with Garland at that right guard spot. Or is that just sort of, two good quarters out of in a sea of sort of mediocrity? So that's going to be a big issue for the Falcons going up against this Redskins defense.
Yeah, and, I'll just, kind of add, you mentioned Matt Ioannidis. He's had a great year. Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen are both capable of shutting down the run and getting after the passer. One thing that I think, and then of course you mentioned Kerrigan, and he's really come on of late. He didn't have a sack for the first 3.5 games, and he had two against the Dallas Cowboys, including a fumble that led to a turnover and a touchdown, I should mention, and then put plenty of pressure and had a sack last week. I would say this, Preston Smith is kind of, to me, like one of my X factors in this game, because he's got the speed and the athleticism off that usually right edge to turn the corner and to get home and, go blindside, maybe force a fumble or, something. That if he can really kind of bust out, and he's usually a feast or famine type guy, that might be kind of that ultimate factor that swings this game one way or the other. Usually Preston is a big big bust out. You don't hear much from him for a couple of games. He's, again, feast or famine is probably the best way I could. And I have a sneaking suspicion with the way he's done rushing the quarterback the last couple of weeks, even though he hasn't had a lot of big numbers to show for it, that he might be ready to bust out.
Well, I think, you can say it's preseason, but I do recall last summer, I think it was, when the Falcons played the Redskins in the preseason, for the quarter and a half or however long he was in the lineup, going up against Jake Matthews, the Falcons left tackle, he did play really well. And seemed to be an issue. One of the issues that Jake Matthews has tends to be guys that not only have speed, but also can convert speed to power. And so when they basically, like, Matthews has quick feet and is able to mostly handle speed, but then when guys can sort of turn that into power, then that's an issue that he can tend to struggle with. And I think that's something that both Smith and Kerrigan can potentially do against him. So that is, I agree with you that is something that, if they can get him going, because Matthews has been far and away the Falcons' best offensive lineman, and if he's a guy that the Redskins can exploit, then that's just, that's basically 5 for 5 for the beating Falcons offensive lineman in this game. So that's going to be something that could be very advantageous for the Redskins, slowing down this offense.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And one other just quick thing, I don't want to keep belaboring this issue, is, the Redskins, again, know that they have to, even though you don't want to put Atlanta in advantageous third down situations, they know that they have to be better on third and longs. They've struggled in this area a couple of times this year. So just because, you shut down the run, say, or just because you get a sack on first or second down and put Matt Ryan and Atlanta in a third and 12 type situation, you know, I would expect them to play tighter coverage than maybe they did against Odell Beckham and the Giants. I would expect them to maybe blitz a little bit more or send a creative look, maybe Swearinger down on a blitz. Again, now that they have Clinton Dix to kind of help over the top and somebody they trust a little bit more than the youngster Monte Nicholson, just to kind of give a different look to Matt Ryan. What you can't do is have Matt Ryan just sit on his spot, rush four or rush three and drop eight and have these wide open gaps in zone, or again, give him time to just sit on his spot and go to a second or third progression and have somebody beat you down the field on a third and say 12, third and 13, you know, somewhere in that range. So I think it's going to be a big factor in this game.
Yeah. So we will definitely at least touch upon the Redskins offense against the Falcons defense, although it was the less intriguing matchup in this game, in a moment. But I do want to remind people that you can check out two fantasy football shows on the Locked On Podcast Network. The first one is Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7, where you can get your injury updates and news from around the league to help you win each Sunday, as well as Locked On Fantasy Football podcast with host Vinny Iyer, which is Locked On Fantasy Experts, bringing you a different expert every day to help you guys win your league this year. You can find both of those shows wherever you get your Locked On Podcast Network, your fantasy team every day. So, Chris, let's talk about sort of the less intriguing matchup between these two teams, yeah, with the Falcons defense going up against the Redskins offense. Obviously, the Redskins offense is really one that is helmed by Adrian Peterson. They're getting Chris Thompson back healthier after missing a couple of games. So they have a nice 1-2 punch, a good running back in a good runner in Peterson, and a good receiver in Thompson. Jordan Reed, is probably their most potent weapon. The positive for the Falcons is tight ends really haven't been a major issue for them this season on defense. That's probably the only positive thing that you can say about this Falcons defense so far this season. But I think we'll have to see. They haven't really been tested by too many elite tight ends besides maybe Zach Ertz, who they did a pretty good job against in week one this season. So we'll see if they can handle Jordan Reed. But I think, you know, for the Falcons, their best defense is going to be a good offense, because I don't necessarily know if this Falcons defense is really prepared to deal with a guy like Adrian Peterson, particularly going up against a very formidable Redskins offensive line. We'll have to see if Trent Williams is healthy to play. I know he dealt with a thumb injury last week and sort of exited the game late in that game, but there's been some questions about maybe he'll be able to play with a cast or whatnot, right, this weekend. So if losing him, I think, would be a significant blow for the Redskins, even though I do think Ty Nsekhe is one of the better swing tackles in the league. But
yeah, so there's a couple of things to unpack here about Williams. Like you said, they're going to try a soft cast that allows him to not only be able to protect it, but also to be able to, you know, grab a little bit, which you don't want to grab too much as an offensive lineman, but you need to have some of that ability for infighting and engagement and so on and so forth. So we'll have to see as the practice week goes along. My guess is, this is just my guess, knowing Trent Williams, since he walked in the door at Redskins Park, and as tough as he is, he's going to play in this game. That's just a guess. I don't know that for sure. I don't know if anybody knows that for sure. You mentioned Jordan Reed, Aaron. I think Jordan Reed started off this year after missing much of last year with various toe and ankle issues and all sorts of injuries. I think he started off kind of sluggishly in a lot of ways. He didn't play at all in the preseason. And they didn't target him as much early on in the year. And actually, that was kind of a source of consternation around here. I think the last three games I've seen Jordan Reed really come back to the athletic dynamo that I'm used to seeing, again, his entire career. He made a spectacular behind him, one-handed, outstretched catch on a throw that was a terrible throw from Alex Smith, which is another theme to this Redskins offense that has been a major problem. And then the last 2 weeks, I've seen him with that sick crossover move that Jordan Reed, think about it from a basketball context, for everybody that watches basketball, right? It's just leaving a guy basically standing in his wake, and Jordan just gives you that crossover, and he's gone. And not that he's going to beat you 30 yards down the field, but he's going to get open in a big spot, usually on third down, and he's going to convert just by his route, because he's so good at creating that separation off that initial jab step crossover, as I guess I would call it. And then real quickly, Adrian Peterson, so, like, I look at this Falcon run defense, you know, and clearly, again, the injuries are a major problem. 112.7 yards per game, more important number to me, 4.81 yards per rushing yards per play allowed. I mean, that's enormous to a guy who, yes, is 33, but everybody saw what he was capable of against the New York Giants, and he's been a consistent force. One thing that I really like about how the Redskins have used Adrian Peterson is they've used him both with Alex Smith under center, which was how Adrian came here, used to that style, really with a fullback. They don't use a fullback here. They use a lot of three tight end sets. So he doesn't have the fullback, but they use a lot of three tight end sets. But they've used Alex Smith under center. They've used Alex Smith in gun and pistol a lot with Adrian Peterson working off RPOs and that cross face run where he sweeps to one side or the other. The Redskins have been really good at the variety of runs that they've been able to feature Adrian Peterson. And I'll tell you, Aaron, he's still really hard to tackle. He slips off guys, he breaks tackles. So that is going to be a major challenge for the Atlanta Falcons. I would say, you know, Reed, certainly, again, he was targeted 12 times, and Adrian Peterson, no doubt. You mentioned Chris Thompson. He's banged up. He hasn't been the same player. He missed a couple of games. He re-injured his ribs, but on the other side. So now he's dealing with tender ribs on one side that cost him two games. And then he came back, and he just didn't look right, and then he got absolutely popped on the other side. So I don't even know if Chris Thompson is going to play, and his main backup, Capri Bibbs, is dealing with a separated shoulder. So that's an area that I'll be really interested to see how the Redskins adjust if both of those guys are not there.
That's interesting, because that 1-2 combination of Peterson and Thompson was something that I was really worried about going this week, because the Falcons have given up a ton of plays to receiving running backs this year. They did a really good job, a surprisingly good job against Saquon Barkley prior to their bye in that Monday night game against the Giants. But that's really been the only example of that. You know, other running backs like James Conner and Alvin Kamara have had a lot of success against them. So if Thompson's not going to play, I don't think you necessarily have to fear that same sort of receiving ability from Peterson quite to the same degree. So that is a positive for the Falcons. I think the key to the Falcons defense being able to slow down this Redskins offense, even though it's not necessarily what you would call a juggernaut of an offense, is going to be winning up front for the Falcons. And I think if Williams does not play, or if he's limited in some way, is not sort of the Pro Bowl elite left tackle that Trent Williams has been known to be over the bulk of his career, that is maybe a matchup that the Falcons, with their pass rushers like Tack McKinley and Vic Beasley, might be able to exploit a little bit more than they would if Williams was 100%. You also have some issues on the interior with Chase Roullier and Sean Loivau, who haven't necessarily played quite to the level that I think Redskin fans probably hope. And that's maybe where the Falcons' strength of their defensive line has been coming on as of late, with Grady Jarrett coming back from injury and had a really good game against the Giants. Jack Crawford has been really arguably their most consistent pass rusher over the last month of the season. And you'll probably see a nice inside spin move that he likes to throw at guards when they get the opportunity. And it's been very successful over the last month. So I think the Falcons are really going to have to take advantage of whatever matchups they can on that offensive line, because I do think, you know, you do, when this Redskins offense is clicking and when they're able to feed Peterson, that can be a problem, because, you know, I think the bottom line is the Redskins want to keep this game low scoring so that they can keep Peterson involved in the offense and run the offense through him. And there's, you know, I think they were averaging like 150 plus yards rushing in their five wins this season and like 40 or 50 yards in their two losses. So it's something where
if you guys can shut down the run, the Redskins offense almost has no chance.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah, and I think the reality is the Falcons' best way of shutting down the run is not necessarily playing great defense, because that's been something that they have been hold altogether unknown in this 2018 season. But it's going to be really getting out to a fast start early in this game, and sort of scoring enough points early that force the Redskins to play a little bit of catch-up. And, you know, get them down 10-0, get them down 14-0, and all of a sudden make Alex Smith and, you know, the Redskins receivers have to beat you, which I think is the best way for the Falcons to sort of control this game from start to finish. But we'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, that's not a good recipe for the Redskins. If they can't run and their defense is leaking oil because of a high-powered Atlanta offense, you know, that's a really bad recipe. I can tell you this flat, the Redskins almost have no chance at that point. I can't rule out everything, but the bottom line is they have to be able to run the football, control the clock. I think that's important, obviously, this week for some of the reasons that we talked about. Oh, and also, by the way, to keep Atlanta's offense off the field. These are going to where this game is almost surely decided.
Yeah, it's going to be basically two different styles, two different teams trying to keep a different tempo in this game. You know, the Falcons are sort of using that basketball analogy. They're the fast break team. They want to run up and down the court with this Redskins team because that plays to the Falcons' strength. The Redskins want to slow it down, make it more of a half court game, you know, get some post up moves from their big power forward, which in this analogy is, I guess, Adrian Peterson or something like that in their defensive line. So I think, you know, whichever team can dictate the pace of this game, I think will be the team that ultimately prove successful.
Yeah, and just I'll throw on one little last thing here from my perspective. You know, the Redskins special teams have been pretty good the last 3 weeks, which hasn't always been the case around here. They did have one bad shank of a field goal last week. This is a different playing surface. They resodded it while the Redskins were away the last 2 weeks, so that's going to be interesting. It should be in good shape, but you just never know. Around here, this is not traditionally a good place to play for kickers, and special teamers generally don't like it, FedEx Field. But the Redskins have been much better on special teams the last 3 weeks, and that has contributed to their three-game winning streak.
And that'll be interesting to see if that comes into play, because the Falcons, you know, the one player, you know, that isn't on IR that the Falcons are potentially expected to miss this week is kicker Matt Bryant. Last, when they've played the Giants, in week 7, Giorgio Tavecchio made a series of big kicks, but that was in Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We'll have to sort of see how he handles, you know, as you mentioned, sort of adverse conditions in FedEx Field. And if all of a sudden the Falcons can't reliably kick field goals and whatnot, you know, that could be an issue that decides the outcome of this game. So, Chris, I think it's time for us to maybe do some final predictions for this upcoming week. I'll go first.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's hear it, because I'm interested in hearing your spin on this. Can the Falcons get the job done on the road?
Yeah, man. Like, the honest truth is, like, for Locked On Falcons listeners, if I sound like I'm high on the Redskins and down on the Falcons this week, I kind of am. Like, I just feel like the Falcons really haven't shown enough this season on the road and against teams that are built the way that the Redskins are built, which is a team that wants to get physical. And I think given the injuries that the Falcons have had on the offensive line, given the question marks on the offensive line, that is something that a team particularly at home will be have the potential to exploit. So I feel like this is going to be the type of game that the Redskins can win. So I'm going to go with the Redskins winning this game 23-20.
Interesting. So a little bit lower scoring than I think most people are going to have. By the way, the early forecast for Sunday at FedEx Field is high 50s, sunny, and not that much wind and no precipitation. So that'll be interesting. And because of that, Aaron, I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons. I know that's against, you know, probably what my listeners want me to hear, but maybe it's good for them because I picked against the Redskins in 2 out of the last 3 weeks against the Cowboys and the Panthers to lose close ones. I did pick the Giants, so again, you know, for whatever all that's worth. But, you know, maybe my reverse karma will work for the Redskins in their favor again this week. I just don't know, quite honestly, even with Clinton Dix added to the mix, if the Redskins are going to have offense to keep up with the Atlanta Falcons. Somewhere along the line, a coverage bust of some sort. You know, maybe it's Julio Jones getting a big touchdown, which I know is a sight for sore eyes for Atlanta Falcons fans. Somewhere, somehow, I just expect something to happen. Maybe it's the negative part of me. I think the Falcons win. I'm going to say 27-21.
So, Chris, let the people know, or at least let the Locked On Falcons listeners know, where they can find your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. So at WrestleMania621 on Twitter, so a takeoff of WrestleMania, at WrestleMania621 on Twitter. And if they're coming up for the game in the Washington, D.C. area or really anywhere, radio.com is a great app that you can hear me on. I'm on 106.7 The Fan in Washington, D.C., and I'll be doing the pregame that day and shows throughout the week. So we have a good old time, and we'll be talking a lot about this matchup. And of course, daily on the Locked On Redskins podcast, Aaron.
All right. And for Locked On Redskins listeners, if you want to check me out and get more insight into the Falcons and this matchup this week, you can find me, of course, on Twitter at FalcFans. And, of course, coming at you daily with the Locked On Falcons podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Sounds good to me, man. Should be a good game on Sunday afternoon. And note the Atlanta Falcons. I think I heard a stat that the Atlanta Falcons haven't won here. I have to double check that, but I thought I heard that statistic. So it'll be interesting to see if they can get the job done. Actually, they did win a couple of.
I think they beat them in 2012. That. I thought.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, you know what? They beat Kirk Cousins. I think back in 2015. So I don't know where I heard that stat. But either way, the bottom line is everybody remembers what happened the last time these two teams got together in the regular season. Cousins throwing a overtime interception down in Atlanta. So that was the case. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that 2012 game, they knocked RG3 out of the game and Cousins almost back in.
You're right.
And led them to a win, come from behind win. But, he might have thrown an interception in that game too. I can't recall how.
I think he threw two of them, absolutely, and that was in his rookie year. But you're right. I remember that well now.
Yeah. So obviously, you know, Falcon fans want a repeat of that, and Redskins fans don't. So we'll see which they get this Sunday. So.
Sounds good, my man.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Aaron.
Okay, guys, there you have it. Another crossover in the books. If you want to provide your feedback, you could do so on Twitter. I'm at FalcFans. Of course, the show's Twitter handle is Locked On Falcons. So if it is a podcast-related question, comment, or suggestion, then send it over there. You can also use Facebook as your preferred social media platform. The page is Locked On Falcons, of course, over there. The email address is lockedonfalcons@mail.com. And, of course, you can leave a comment at FalcFans.com. where the podcast is posted daily. Tomorrow we will be back with a guest to talk more about the Falcons season. You know, just sort of thoughts on the Falcons. Maybe potentially another Atlanta-based sports team as well, just as a tease. And then Friday we'll sort of talk about the Falcons and maybe do what we did earlier this week, looking ahead to this upcoming draft and looking at maybe some talent at some of the key positions that I discussed on yesterday and Monday's episodes about, you know, maybe some areas of the roster on the offensive and defensive lines that they could potentially look forward to in the draft, just as a primer, you know, 6 months in advance or whatever it is, just so you guys can keep your eyes on maybe some college prospects that you want to pay attention to as this college football season wraps up and we get into the bowl season as well, as potential, you know, hashtag future Falcons. So that's what's on deck for the rest of the week. And I apologize for picking the Redskins, but you know, I just think good defensive lines, good running games. You know, I talked about the tempo, two different tempos. I feel like, given the fact that this game is on the road, I feel like the Redskins will have a lot more success controlling the tempo of this game. Obviously, the Falcons, I think, will be low scoring enough. The Falcons will have an opportunity to win it in the end, but we'll have to see if they can. So, we'll see. Until then.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.